In a previous broadcast, we were seeking to impress upon all our listeners serious truths regarding the great truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to continue with that theme, and in so doing I would introduce my thoughts today by reading to you a number of verses from the New Testament. Reading first of all from the writings of the Apostle Paul, who in his letter to the Thessalonians mentions the truth of the return of the Lord in every chapter. But when he comes to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, here is what he says. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, when I turn over a few pages of my Bible, I come to an epistle that was written by James. And James, you know, is a very practical writer. And in chapter 5, which is the last chapter of the epistle of James, here is what he says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, the next writer in the New Testament is Peter. Peter wrote two letters, and in his second one, the second epistle of Peter, and in chapter 3, he outlines to us quite a number of prophetic facts. But having stated that, here is what he says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then we turn over to the writings of John. John was the man who wrote the gospel that bears his name. Then he wrote three epistles, and then the book of Revelation. Now in his first epistle and chapter 3, he states these things. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Then our final reading we will take from the general epistle of Jude. The epistle of Jude. And Jude in his letter is dealing with the great subject of apostasy. But coming to the end of his little letter, he says this, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these scriptures. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts very quietly in thy holy presence. We thank thee for the scriptures that we have been reading, and we pray that the truth of these things now will be inscribed upon all our hearts, that we will be able to take these things and understand them, and that each one of us shall be responding in our souls and saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We pray for thy blessing to be upon every listener now, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in a previous study, I read to you and said quite a lot about what the Lord had to say in the upper room as recorded for us in John chapter 14. I remind you of that scripture again, where the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." These were words that the Lord spoke to his own on that never-to-be-forgotten night when he met with them in the upper room just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the following day he was crucified. I remind you that if you study these words, you'll find this, that he is encouraging them in their faith, in their hope, and in their love. Now here we have to have faith in the divine person. He said, "You believe in God? Well, believe also in me." They had never seen God the Father, for no one had seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, he had declared him. And so if the Lord was going away to leave them and they wouldn't see him, nevertheless they were to have the same confidence in him as they would have in God the Father. So there was an encouragement for their faith in the person of God. But there was also to be faith in the provision of God. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Remember, before that God placed Adam on this earth, the earth was well prepared for Adam. Everything was accomplished, ready for Adam to become the tenant. Likewise, when the Lord takes his waiting people home, when he takes his church to be with himself, everything will be prepared for them. He has a prepared place for a prepared people. And then there was to be faith in the divine program. "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, if he was going to prepare a place, we must have absolute confidence in this, that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a program, and all the powers of earth or the powers of hell will never be able to overthrow the purposes of God. Remember, God is supreme, and the power of the evil one can never overthrow God. Then there was to be faith in the promise of God. "I will come again." Now it's that particular point we want to stress once more. It's the great fact that the Lord is coming. Personally, I believe the time has come when all those who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be stirred up regarding this great truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, that his coming will be personal, that his coming will be literal. Go through the Old Testament, look at all the prophecies concerning his first advent, as to where he would be born, as to when he would be born, as to how he would be born, and remember, he was born at Bethlehem according to the scriptures. He was born in the very manner that the scriptures said he would be born. It was literal. And so the prophetic scriptures concerning his first advent were fulfilled literally. May I also suggest that scriptures concerning his coming again will be fulfilled literally. The same Lord Jesus Christ who walked the dusty roads of Palestine and who walked through the streets of old Jerusalem, the same man who stood on the Mount of Olives and his disciples saw him go up in the cloud into glory, that same Jesus is coming again. And he'll come in the same manner as they saw him go. He will come and the cloud will open and they'll see him there and his own will be caught up to meet him in the air. Then the day will come when he'll come right back down to this earth and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives according to Zechariah chapter 14. Dear listening friend today, get this clear in your mind. Get this truth embedded in your heart. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. This is not a fancy. It's not a figment of one's imagination. We may not know the hour. We may not know the day. But we know for a fact that he is coming again. And God in his goodness and in his grace has hidden from us the very moment when that shall be. There are certain things that God reserves within his own power. And we know not the day nor the hour when he'll come. But now, take the writings of these letters from which I have read today. Take the writings of these great men of God. Think of what Paul says first of all. Paul, who has stressed in every chapter of his letter to the Thessalonians the great truth concerning the coming again of the Lord. And in chapter 5, he seems to tell us this, therefore, be prepared. Do not live like those who live in the darkness, for you're not in the darkness. So therefore, that day should not overtake you like a thief. That is, it shouldn't come upon you as an unexpected thing. This is a person you should expect. You should expect the Lord to come. And if you're expecting him to come, then you will not be overtaken by surprise. He says, therefore, we've not to sleep as do others. We've to watch and be sober. Therefore, it should affect us in such a way that day by day we should be ready and saying, perhaps it will be today. But then we turn this truth right into our own hearts, and we've got to ask ourselves this question. Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Paul seems to say, be prepared. Now that could be directed to the hearts of all today, whether you are a Christian or not a Christian. It would come to us like this. The Lord is coming. Here is an event that will take place. Therefore, be prepared. If you are a Christian, you profess to know the Lord, then you ought to live on the tiptoe of expectancy. And you ought to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. You ought to be watching for the coming of the Lord. But suppose I'm speaking to someone today who does not profess to be a Christian, and you're not saved, my friend. Do you realize that the next great move in God's calendar will be the moment when he gives the signal and the Lord Jesus Christ will rise from his throne in glory and come with trumpet sound, and with the voice of the archangel, and at that time the dead in Christ shall rise, and the Christians who are alive and remain shall be changed, and together they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But if you're not ready, my friend, then you'll be one of those that will be left behind for the awful holocaust of tribulation that is coming upon this old sinful world. Therefore, according to what Paul tells us, we ought to be prepared for the return of the Lord. You know, there is a certain group of boys, a boys' club, in a number of countries today, and that is their motto. Their motto is, be prepared. May I suggest, it ought to be the motto of all of us, whether we be elderly or young, men or women. We ought to be able to take these words and inscribe them upon our hearts in such a way that day by day we're able to say, be prepared. I ask you, my friend, are you prepared for this great coming event of the return of the Lord. But now, when you turn over to the letter written by James, James, you know, was a very practical writer. He's reckoned to be one of the first writers in the Christian era. And at that time, the Christians were passing through some very troublous times. But we are also passing through troublous times today. And it would seem to me that the letter of James, while it was very practical and dealing with things that they were facing at that time, it also seems to be prophetical. James seemed to be pointing onward to the very days in which we are living, when he says, "Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten." Have you ever noticed, my friend, that in this 20th century, what certain rich men have had to pass through? Have you noticed the uprising of socialism, the uprising of communism, and so with these great ideologies that have come along in the 20th century, and how they have persecuted other people, and men who thought they were well established, owning much of this world's goods, these men have had to pass through times of misery. But now, he also goes on to show that there were those who held back the wages of the man who labored for him, those who labored in his fields, and by fraud he wouldn't pay them their wages, and so on. But now, what does the Christian do in the midst of all this, where you have the great struggle of capitalism against labor, and labor against capital? What is the Christian to do in the midst of all this? James says, here's the answer to your problem. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And to emphasize and illustrate the need for patience, he says, think of the farmer. The farmer has got to plow, and he's got to sow, but after that he's got to wait until God gives the rain and the sunshine, and then he gets in the precious fruit of the earth. In like manner, we have got to wait and exercise that same patience for the movements of God. And he says, therefore, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I might tell you this, my friend, and you can disagree with me or agree with me, but the fact of the matter is, the Bible seems to teach this, that in spite of all the efforts of good men, in spite of all the efforts of people who may call themselves one thing or another, remember this, this world will wax worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and there is only one answer to the problems of the world today, and that is the return of the Lord. So therefore, to the Christian, he says, just you be patient. You cannot alter things that are today, but you can establish your own hearts, and you can wait patiently, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Here is the great hope. Here is the blessed hope of those that know the Lord. It's this, the Lord is coming. My friend, be patient. Wait patiently for the Lord to move. He's got everything under control. He's working all things after the counsel of his own will. Very soon he'll come with trumpet sound. Therefore, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. But now, Peter also had some things to say. Peter, in his second epistle, tells us some of the awful tragedies that shall come upon this old world. But he also tells us this, that there will come men, and they'll be saying, "But where is the sign of his coming?" Oh, these are evil men, men who will begin to scoff, men who will begin to sneer at the very idea of the Lord coming. But he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then after telling us some of the things that will happen in this world, for example, Peter was not a scientist, you know, but he was a man of God. And he wrote as he was moved by the Spirit of God. And here is what he said. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now notice he says the day of the Lord. He's not referring there to the coming of the Lord for his church. The day of the Lord, that will be the time when the Lord will act in judgment. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See, Peter, as I have said, was not a scientist, but writing under inspiration, he tells us exactly the awful things that lie before this old world. However, here is what he said. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, most people are of the opinion that peace is the opposite of war. But it isn't, my friend. Peace is the opposite of fear. And fear today is public enemy number one. There's a lot of people today troubled and fearful, not knowing what a day may bring forth. Businessmen are afraid unless they fear they're going to go bankrupt. And then some people are afraid that they're going to lose their job. Some people are afraid that our old country is going to go down. And some people are afraid of their health and so on. People's hearts are failing them today for fear. They're afraid that some foolish person is going to press the wrong button and we're going to have a whole holocaust of atom bombs or hydrogen bombs and another war let loose. And so they're afraid. My friend, listen. If you're a Christian, there's no need for you to be overcome with fear. He says, you be diligent about this, that when the Lord comes, you'll be found of him in peace. It's one thing, you know, to have peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the peace of God? That peace that can garrison the mind, that peace that can keep the heart and keep you in quiet, quiet peace. Oh, that's the peace, my friend, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. But in view of all that, John says there's something more. John said, you know, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Now we accept that. The Father has shown love toward us. That we should be called the sons of God. Can you imagine? We who were only sinners of the dust, being brought in and constituted children of God. But he said this, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a blessed hope for those that know the Lord, that he'll keep that promise, he'll come for us, we'll be taken home to be with himself, and be forever with the Lord. John says, in view of that, there's something practical to affect your life. In view of that, says John, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord should be living in moral purity. Oh, my friend, we're living in a filthy world. We're living in a world that has sunk into the very gutter of sin, but the Christian should be living a different kind of life. Remember this. If we are looking for the coming of the Lord, we should be living in moral purity. Then again, Jude says, here what you should do. If you're looking for that coming again, what he calls the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, but building up yourselves in your most holy faith. That is, you're going to be reading the Word of God and building yourselves up with the Word. Then you'll be praying in the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you keep yourselves in the love of God, and you'll be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Remember, my friend, he's coming again. Christ is coming. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. I trust that all my listeners today are looking forward with glad anticipation to that glorious time when the Lord will come and take his waiting people home. If you're not a Christian, my friend, why don't you get ready? Why don't you trust the Savior just where you are and as you are. If you have any problems, if you have any questions,